This is part two of our interview with Jeff Joyce on what did Christ mean when he said to go and tell? How can you do just that? Hello and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson. And you can find out more about my books by visiting my website at ts-thompson.com.
And I'm Jo Heather Dodson, founder of Your Christian Coach. Discover more about my coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we continue our interview with pastor and mission strategist Jeff Joyce to inspire your deeper Christian living.
Wow. Your testimony is just so inspiring, you know, especially for people tuning in, like I was, you know, saying, if you want to be able to do more in your church, because like you were saying, you don't have many people. Mm-mm. Not like you got to have tons of money. You just have people who are willing.
That's right.
Right. A willing heart. And, you know, if you want to be able to give, I believe God's going to find a way to get it to you.
That's right.
To give it to that mission, because that's what the great calling is, right? What you're talking about, to go out and go. And I believe if you have a heart to do it, he's going to find a way. Mm-hmm. For you guys to be able to do it. And look at all, I just can't get over how much you have done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of trips and a lot of coming and going, a lot of organizing and just all the lives that you're touching with it. I mean, it really takes the box of this church. I can picture this little white church on a hill and it just expands. The walls come off. The walls come off. You're not meant to be confined in just that little church. You're meant to go out into the world. So yeah, I think it's just an amazing testimony, Jeff. And, so we began our conversation today around how you got started in the missions, right? We've been talking about that, which has led you on a journey from the United States, you know, to other parts of the world, right? And currently, you are serving as a mission strategist for the Randolph Baptist Associations where you live. Mm-hmm. So what kind of other things, besides all the mission trips and all the different things you're organized, I'm sure you have time for all this, but what kind of other things does the Lord have you doing locally?
Well, a couple of years ago, the Lord moved me from the church I was pastoring. I'd been there for 22 years and said, you know, we've got a group of 43 Southern Baptist churches in our county, Randolph Baptist Association. And, you know, want you to be involved with that. And they came to me and I really wasn't interested to start with. I kind of liked where I was at and what I was doing. You know, it was fun. And they said, no, we really feel like this is what the Lord wants you to do. We at least pray about it. And I did one of those things. Yeah, I'll be glad to. 6 months later, they said, you prayed about it? And I said, not really. Anyway, I did pray about it eventually. And the Lord led us in this direction. And so for the past 2 years, we've been trying to encourage the churches that are a part of our association to do the same thing we were doing at Weiss Memorial among themselves. Because if you can imagine, if a congregation of 200 could do that, what could a group of churches do to affect their county and then around the world? And so we've been trying to encourage our churches along those lines. You know, you can do it, and to, you know, show them, expose them, like we say, you know, just expose them to what's possible. Some of them are very good at this. Some of them are smaller, never been exposed to it, scared of what you can do and what you can't do. But in the midst of it, you know, I've been here about 6 months and COVID hits. I was actually in Israel on the Wednesday before everything shut down on Friday. We flew back in and everything shut down on Friday. We had a big youth event planned where we were going to Teen Extreme, where we were going to bring in about 300 or 400 youth. And Greensboro said, nope, we're not doing that. So we spent the next, you know, 18 months trying to figure out how to do ministry. But we've been able to see our churches do a lot of different things. You know, we've had churches work with churches, and they've through a national program that works with our Baptist men, we've given out food boxes. I think we were giving out 29, not just our association, but the state in total, we're giving out, I think it was 29,000 food boxes a week to people that were, and we had four of our churches in this county that were doing that, giving out a tractor trailer load of food every week, boxes of food, taking them to families who just, you know, were, this pandemic had wiped them out. We had a couple of churches, one in particular, and I thought this was neat, where we went down in Red Springs 20 years ago to start doing the clean out stuff. Well, they ended up, because of that, building a facility to house missions things, missions projects could work out of there. And they would have food there that they would spread out during times of disaster all over the nation. Well, the pandemic shut everything down, so they had this food they needed to get rid of. And so one of our churches started going down there and getting this food, and they would come back, and on Wednesdays they would cook meals. And every Wednesday for the past 70 weeks, they have fixed meals, and they're feeding between 500 and 600 people every Wednesday.
Wow!
That just found out, and they'll feed them. And they started out getting the food that the Baptist men, Baptist Home Mission had. And eventually they said, you know, well, this food's going to dry up. Do we want to keep doing this project? And they're doing it out of their church. Spent about $700-$800 a week. And the pastor told me just the other night, he said, you know, we spend that every week, but we get that back. God gives that back to us. He said, really, it's cost us nothing to do this ministry. And he's talked about the families that have joined the church, how they've become involved in working. So that's been a pretty awesome thing. We've got a ministry here in the community where we build ramps. Our churches work together, and I think we built last year 17 ramps for people, no cost to them, built ramps for them in our county, go in and do little handyman projects for them. We've got teams that work together doing that out of our different churches. If you would have been in our office 2 weeks ago, it looked like we were a toilet paper factory. That sounds crazy. but our 43 churches, our women on mission have been working with the Family Crisis Center here in our county, collecting paper towels and toilet paper. This is what they were collecting this month. And we sent 2,000 rolls of toilet paper and paper towels to the Family Crisis Center. Just for this past month, they do something, a little something about every month that they'll do. And, but you know, there's just different things that we've been able to be a part of, helping Your Choices Randolph, our pregnancy care center here, with a golf tournament. We just got through, you know, our 43 churches were working with other churches in our community, and we did an Ignite Randolph event. We had a singer come in, Miss Haley Smith came in and sang, and then had a speaker came in and shared the gospel for about 500 people out in the park, in Ashboro here in the city, in Bicentennial Park. It was amazing turnout. Just encouraging our churches and seeing them catch the vision of what to do. We'll be leaving. I leave Thursday, and we're going to be up with 14 people in West Virginia, doing Vacation Bible School and Backyard Bible Club. We'll be up there for 3 days doing that. And so, you know, just getting them to catch the vision and take the message to the world.
And now I'd like to share that today's sponsor spotlight is about Ebenezer International Ministries. Executive Director and missionaries Haile Tafara and his wonderful wife Sadali serve the people of Ethiopia, the land of their birth. As young adults, they moved to America, raised 3 girls, and became successful business owners. After 15 years in the United States, the Lord called Haile and Sadali back to Ethiopia to start a school, support numerous orphans, and establish a printing ministry. Since 2007, God has blessed and grown these efforts in significant ways. In 2017, they officially established Ebenezer International Ministries to help spread the news about the Lord's work and raise money for their efforts. Jeff is going to share more about this ministry, but if you would like to look them up check out EbenezerIM.org. That's EbenezerIM.org. If you'd like to sponsor a future episode of this podcast by featuring your favorite ministry effort, contact us at loveandencouragement.com. That's exactly right, Jeff. Yeah. Take the message to the world. And I mean, what we're hearing from all these ideas that, you know, as you guys who are listening are jotting down ideas for yourself, for your family, for your congregations, you know, remember it's about meeting needs of people. Because if I just go to somebody and I just start preaching to them, but I haven't met their need where they are, whether it's a bottle of water or a blanket or a vacation Bible school, you know, or helping them build a ramp into their home, you know, they kind of, it doesn't mean a lot. We've had an episode recently that you can go back and check out, which is about telling your story. But part of that is meeting somebody where they are. And that's what Jeff's telling us about today. But Jeff, before we wrap things up on the episode today, there's something near and dear to my heart that I definitely want you to share with our listeners, and it goes back to your international missions. You've been working in the country, as we mentioned in the sponsor break, Ethiopia, for you've been going several times a year. You know, I had the privilege and the honor of taking my family to Kenya, Africa in 2013, and we stayed with some missionary friends who were serving there near the Masai Mara National Reserve. And, you know, it just changed my life in so many ways to go and to have that experience. And, you know, I've told so many people, you know, you've got to go to Africa. You've got to see what the Lord is doing there. So share with us, what have you seen the Lord doing in your trips to Ethiopia?
Well, in 2017, I had a chance to go to Ethiopia for the first time. Evangelist that was doing some meetings for us invited me to go, and I met Brother Holly and the ministry there. And we went initially, we were doing evangelism. We were going on to the streets, just going on the streets, and the translator would say, hey, this is a good place, just start sharing the gospel. And you'd share a 10, 15 minute gospel presentation, and as you did, you'd have 200, 300, 400 people surround you. And then the translator would, you know, ask them if they wanted to make a response to the message. And I'd never experienced anything like that. We were in southern Ethiopia, a place called Awassa. And they were wanting to go to a new area a little further south called Soto. And so we went there, and it was an interesting experience. We got in that morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. And they had asked me to speak at the church that next morning at 7. Their services was at 7 in the morning, so I had like 4 hours. And I was so nervous because I hadn't spoken with a translator in Africa. I had in Peru, but not in Africa. And get to the church, and the church is about 6,000. There's about 6,000 people at the church now. Again, my church is like 200. And but shared the message that morning, worshiped with them. It's just beautiful. Their worship is so sincere and so lively, and it was amazing to be in their worship service and to share the gospel with them, and saw many decisions, went out on the streets. But I remember just being overwhelmed by this experience, and we went back to the motel we were staying in, and they told us, they said, well, this pastor's going to come and visit with us. He wants to have breakfast with us, and he was about 70 something years old, is mid 70s. You know, I'm thinking ready to retirement age. And he's real quiet, real reserved. All these American pastors are talking, and he's sitting over there not saying anything. And I asked him, I said, Pastor Gatu, I said, can you tell me why you think this is happening in Africa? Why is, you know, I've never experienced anything like this. I've never seen crowds of people just so hungry for the message of the gospel. He said, he looked at me really surprised, and he said, young man, he said, because our churches have been praying for this for 30 years. For 30 years, we've went through communism. We've went through Coptic Christianity. And he said, now God is sending the winds of revival. And he's so honest and so open they didn't do evangelism like that. They weren't used to doing anything outside and going and sharing with people. And we were going to go to the Sudan for a couple of days. And he said, I want to send a couple of my guys with you to the Sudan so we can learn to do this evangelism and we can hop. And that's when they're worshiping, they're bouncing up and down. He said, we want to learn to hop and do that in Sudan. And then he shared with us how he had a vision of taking the gospel right up the coast of Africa, right into the Middle East. And I was just sitting there thinking, here's this 70-year-old pastor in the United States would be thinking of retiring. And all he's thinking of is, how can I get the gospel furthered? And so that was the beginning of this experience. And just over the last several years, I go about twice a year. We'll go to Ethiopia. We've now developed where we'll go on back of trucks with sound systems and music and have Ethiopian singers with us. And we'll go into these marketplaces that have 40, 50, 60,000 people. And we'll get on the back of the truck and just start sharing the gospel. And I know it sounds crazy, but there'll be 3, 4, 5,000 people surrounding the truck. I can show you pictures where you just video all the way around as deep as you can see. We're in markets. People climbed in the trees like Zacchaeus, climbing up in the trees to hear the gospel. And it's just amazing. And responding, churches growing. And so we've started doing leadership conferences, helping the pastors know how to disciple these people that are coming into their churches. We even had experience where we were asked by the governor of a local region if we would come in and train the leaders in the different departments. They sent 160 government workers. They shut down the whole local government for 3 days and sent their leaders to training. And I told him, I said, I'll be glad to do this, but all we train with is the Bible. That's all we use is the Bible. And he said, we've tried everything else. We want to try this. And so we talked to him about reconciliation and how they could treat one another and how to be good leaders with biblical principles. And they begged us to do that across their whole 2.5 million people region of Ethiopia. The latest experience, I got to go in April. We got our trips canceled because of COVID. And so they had called us and requested, they wanted to do a repentance and reconciliation conference. And we said, okay, you know, we'll see what we can do to help you out. It'll be a little different than what we're used to doing. But 36 churches in this town of 500,000 came together. They rented the soccer stadium in the community, right in the middle of the city. And they prayer walked from their churches, each one of their congregations prayer walked from their churches to the soccer stadium. And it was supposed to be a 1-day event. When we got there, it ends up going to be a 3-day event. And we walked into the stadium Friday morning, and there were 5,000 Ethiopian believers on their face crying out to God, and they're praying 2 Chronicles 7:14. And they prayed. The only time they stopped praying was when we were preaching. We preached 3 times that day, and they prayed the whole day. And I was telling somebody, I'm the super spiritual evangelist that has come in. And we come into the evening service, and I said, Holly, we've got to do something. These people have been here all day. They've had nothing to eat. They've had nothing to drink. I said, I don't know where we're going to get the funds, but we got to get them something. And he looked at me and he said, Jeff, please don't say anything about food and water. They're fasting. And they have been fasting and praying the whole day from sunup to sundown. We come back the next day on Saturday morning, and there's 10,000 people there, face down on the ground, fasting and praying all day long. We're seeing people get saved. We see a young man come forward delivered from demon possession. He's crazy. Craziest thing I've ever seen. You know, I mean, that's not That's not Baptist. Now, we don't see that all the time. There's a lot of demons in the church, but they don't many people getting delivered of them. but it's amazing just to see this young man. He comes forward and they're praying with him, and he falls down on the ground, and all these believers rush over and cover him with Bibles. They just pile Bibles all over him, and for like 20 minutes, this goes on back and forth. But eventually, man, he's delivered, gives his life to the Lord. So there's all these wonderful things happening. And the reason this conference came together, several things they were praying for. One, the conflict in the region. They'd had conflict break out, and in their riots, 60, 70 people had been killed, murdered. And they wanted God's deliverance from that evil spirits, from that part. And the pandemic had been there. A couple of their young pastors had passed away with COVID, and they were asking God to deliver them. They don't have all the resources we have in America. Their new president there was a Christian. Their prime minister was a Christian, and they were praying he was coming up for reelection, and they wanted to seek God's face for him to stay in office. And they were in a drought. Been 13 months since it had rained. And, you know, I don't know what to think about that, but I found out that in 1985 they had a drought and turned into a famine, and 1 million people in Ethiopia died. And so they knew what they were praying for. They had their crops, they had their fields cut, ready to plant, but they couldn't plant till it rained. So 2 days they prayed. Saturday night, we're in the motel, and it started raining. It rained about 15 minutes, and you see, man, us crazy Americans, we out there dancing around in the rain. God's delivered us, you know, this, and it quit. It just quit. But we show up Sunday. They told me, they said, we want you to come about 3:00, be ready to preach, and final day of the crusade, final message. And so I said, okay. Well, they called at 1:30, and they said, you need to come on over here. We're ready. We walked into the stadium, and there was somewhere between 50 and 80,000 people in the stadium. Wow. The soccer field was packed with people, elbow to elbow. They had heard that they were praying for God to do some amazing things. And those 36 churches has expanded, and now it's almost every church in the region has got people there. Is amazing. It was simply amazing. Shared the gospel, preached, prayed. I remember driving out of the stadium, and I thought, God, you the same God in Ethiopia that's in Randolph County. When are we going to experience that in Randolph County? And he just like he audibly spoke to me, he said, when you get as desperate as these people are, I'll be there. I'm the same God. When you get as desperate as they are, then I'll be there. And we left Monday morning before we got to the Capitol, about 5-hour trip. Before we got there, the missionary's phone was ringing off the hook. It had started raining. It rained for 3 weeks. It rained for three solid weeks. The pastors were telling the missionary, we got phone calls all night. There are people lined up at our churches, and they're asking us, you're one of those churches that was praying for rain. Your God is the God that answers prayer, isn't he? And their churches, just people lined up at their churches because God's people were faithful. Amen. And I don't know how to explain it. It's just that the spirit, there's a wind. There's, I remember one of the guys sharing with me. He was on a Friday night. All the other preachers were preaching at churches, and he didn't have a church to preach at. And a guy came by and he said, hey, would you like to go to our church's prayer service tonight? Sure, we'll go. I'll go. Like to. They drove off in the jungle about an hour or so. He said, before you got there, you could hear, you know, this buzz going on. And he said, we drove up and I asked the guy, what are they doing? He said, this is our prayer service. And he said, you walk in and here's a building and there's 4,000 Ethiopians. There's no singing, no preaching. They've come together to pray. Mm. And they're praying and asking God to send revival to their nation. And that's why what's going on in Ethiopia is happening. And I am, I'm still trying to figure out why a redneck from Randolph County gets to be a part of that. But all I know is I'm grateful. I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord lets me have a part in that, because it is truly amazing to see God at work. And knowing that same God, if he can do it there, he's capable of doing it here. And that's why my prayer is that God will do that same thing for us here.
Amen.
Wow. But I think you're right. I think what you were saying, because I was really blown away by the testimony that you've shared. But people aren't hungry for God here. Mm-hmm. People are really comfortable. And even though we the United States is really struggling since the pandemic, people have lost a lot of jobs, people still have not turned to God. They don't have that hunger. Or maybe they haven't heard, which is hard to believe in America with TV and all the stuff on the internet, that they haven't heard about, you know, Jesus and stuff. But some people, they're not tuned into it. They you still need to go. You still need to go and tell.
Right?
But there's just not that hunger, I think, in, you know, you see it in these other countries where people are more desperate, more dependent upon. And they're also, I think, more out in nature where, you know, like people in the country and stuff are, you see God everywhere. You see him in the flowers. You see his patterns, the way that he created things. You're closer connected to him. And those in the city, I think, no offense, people in the city, but when you're around everything that's man-made, it's me, 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 us, us, us. It's less God, God, God. You know, they don't really feel the need, right? Yeah. You look around, where you're going to see God, you're going to see what man made. You know what I mean?
It's a lot. There's a lot of a lot less dependency. You know, we went in, and I remember the first time or second time I went into the jungle, and the missionary asked me, he said, "Jeff, do you believe God is capable of healing?" "Yeah, I believe that. I mean, my God can do anything." He said, "That's not what I'm asking you." He said, "Do you really believe God can heal people when you pray to him?" And I said, "Yeah, Holly, I believe that." He said, "If you don't believe it, I'm going to tell you what's getting ready to happen. You're going to walk in this jungle and you're going to run into a mother who's going to bring you her child. And he's got boils all over him. And it's either you or the witch doctor. And if you don't believe that they can heal, that God can heal this child, don't take that child in your arms and pray for that woman, because she's expecting God to do something. And if you don't believe it, don't do it." And sure enough, we walked in the jungle, and just the way he said it, it happens. And, you know, they can't go to the clinic. There's not a hospital down the street. They have to trust in prayer. They have to believe that their God is capable of doing what, you know. And see, we don't have to. I totally believe that God uses doctors and he uses medications. But when you don't have those things, all you got's God. He's still capable. Healing's still from him. And that's the kind of things we experience. And it opened my eyes, because I'd lived in America my whole life. I'd only seen, we depend on ourselves and what we can do. And it's amazing to see when you have to and you depend on God, when you pray, "Give us, dear Lord, our daily bread." And it's not just words. It's how I get my next meal. You start believing that God's big enough. And that's what we see over there.
So I just want to take a moment here and just pause. Yeah, to let people know how they can find us. So depending upon what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. But the most important thing you can do is to share this podcast with your family and friends. Maybe people in your church say, "Hey, we got to start this up. Listen to this guy, Jeff. You know, we really need to have this in our church, because we don't, right?" Or if you do, maybe you can figure out how to expand upon it and do more. And on our website at loveandencouragement.com, we feature early access to our podcast every Wednesday. And if you want to, you know, to save some time, we'll email it to you. Just go to our website. We have a form, fill it out, and we'll email you the podcast every Wednesday. Amen. Wow. Yeah, I know I've been blessed by your testimony. I can't believe how much God has worked through you to use you for his glory and to get the gospel to people, to bring food, to bring healing, to help people with their needs, really to show that God cares about
people. Amen. That's right.
I'm really just inspired, and I'm really hoping that the listeners, and I believe that the listeners are going to be inspired from your testimony, you know, and whether it's people who are actually running their churches and say, "Hey, how can we look what this one guy's been doing for, you know, we got a bigger church than that. We're not doing even a quarter what this guy's doing. How can we do this in our church? Or maybe there's people in the congregation who's thinking, I don't really have a voice, but you do. Yeah, you can go to your, you can start up just like we know we had the Equip Ministry on. You go to your church, you know, and you say, I want to start this ministry. You speak up. Mm-hmm. God gave you a voice. You speak up and say, I want to do something. And the Lord, like the way he's led you with everything, I believe that those people, you know, if you have a heart to serve the Lord, he will use you like Jeff in mighty ways that you can't even fathom. You just can't even imagine. Because that's right. God wants to show his glory to the world. He wants to show him who he is, to know him as God of more than enough. You know, the God who meets the needs, who answers your prayers. Mm-hmm. Amazing God, all powerful. If you just put your trust in him. But yeah, so Jeff, I know you've said so many inspiring words. I really don't know what else you can add at this point that's going to lift up and inspire others. But I have a feeling that you still have something that you, some encouraging words that you can share with those listeners, either, you know, people who are just ordinary people going to church. Maybe they're not even in a church, you know, or pastors or churches and something. But there's God, I know there's something that you have that you would like to be able to share with them to encourage them to be able to walk and do the things that you've done.
Well, you know, you read the verse out of Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, all people groups. You know, that's the command. We're never commanded to sit and expect them to come to us. That's not the way God had this thing planned. I love the disciples that, you know, Jesus never had a church that he went to, you know, the disciples never said, you know, let me invite you to First Baptist Church or, you know, the Holiness Church. He never said that. They said, come meet Jesus. And they went to where he was at. So, you know, go make disciples of all people, everybody you run into, red, yellow, black and white, everybody's precious. They all need to know this. Baptizing them, showing them they're part of something. They're part of a family. This you know, this Christian thing, I don't even have to speak the language of the people in Peru or in Ethiopia. And they don't understand redneck English in Alaska either. but, you know, you don't have to speak the language. There's just a bond. There's a bond because you're in the same family. And then what are you encouraging them with? You're encouraging them with God's word, his commandments. I love that passage in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. That word's authority. You know, I have the authority from God to do this. I don't have to get permission. God's given me the authority. You shall receive the authority after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, these guys in Acts were waiting for that. But when we accept Christ as our Savior, we get it. The Holy Ghost, we got it. All that we're going to get, we get it the day we're saved. And he's given us the authority to go out and do what? To be witnesses. Witnesses is just what did the Lord do for you? That's all it is. You don't have to have a theology degree. I watched a fifth grade boy at an elementary school. They had seen the teenagers have a Bible club at their school, at the high school. And they wanted to do something like that at their elementary school. So they went to the principal. These two fifth graders went to the principal and said, we want a Bible club. Their parents went with them. They said, well, invited me as their pastor to come. And the principal said, all right, if you run it, you can do it. You know, so we went in, the parents and myself went in, and we just invited observers. We can't do anything. And I watched this fifth grader get up and share with his classmates. They would do it every week. And it's his turn to share. And he said, guys, I know some of y'all never go to church. You don't get a chance to. And he shared all this. And he said, but you need to know Jesus. He said, you need a relationship with Jesus. It'll make your life better. It'll make sure you get to go to heaven. I could have never did that with it. I would have never had that opportunity. But here was this fifth grade boy with perfect permission to do this, sharing about that. He had no degrees. He hadn't been in Bible college. He'd just been in church and the Spirit of God put on his heart to share with his friends. And he got to share with 200 kids sitting there in his school. And, you know, we just share with what God's done for you. Be witnesses of what God's done for you. Where? Start at home, share in your community. And then if God gives you the privilege, go take it around the world. It's just great. Great message from the Lord there.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jeff. And I think that's a great challenge, you know, for our listeners. And you know, I always like to leave you with the challenge question of the week. And so as I thought about this, it makes me think, you know, how can your love of Christ inspire you to go and tell others about him? How can it help you overcome any nervousness? It's okay to be nervous.
That's right.
Oh, about yeah. this. We all get nervous. Just don't let that deter you. You know, let the love that you have received, he loved you first, that you've received and that you have in return, inspire you to go.
That's right.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. Thank you. It's just been awesome today. I could just keep this conversation going. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Yes, it's been such a blessing.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, enjoyed getting a chance to be with you guys.
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been awesome. Okay, listeners, hey, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. And I know you want to share this episode with your family and friends and get them excited about telling others about Christ. And obviously, if you want to be a sponsor of a future episode, you can contact us at loveandencouragement.com. So join us next time as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.
Amen.